Welcome to another broadcast edition of Kingdom Mind Ministries. I am your host, prophet and teacher, Charles T. Walker. We're continuing our study on the power of restoration. And on last week, we had part three, the power of restoration, and we looked at the number 42. We're going to continue today looking at the number 42, how the number 42, by definition, is in opposition against the will of God. It is in opposition against the things of God. It is the spirit of tribulation. It is the spirit of trouble. It is an opposing force. And we got by definition last week, as we said, we looked in the 13th chapter of Revelation, verse 5, when it talked about the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies to exercise authority for 42 months. And that's where we got that definition of 42. And throughout scripture, you're going to see that the number 42 carries with it a fight against anything that is right, anything that is the will of God, anything that has peace, anything that has prosperity. And what it brings is oppression, slander, world persecution, lack of income. It attacks your income and it carries with it the spirit of fear. This opposing spirit is the spirit that is satanically influenced, and it goes against everything that is right and of God and that brings peace. And we can see that for 42 months. That's why I got tribulation out of it, because 42 months is really 3.5 years. And at the end of the tribulation period, which is the second half of 3.5 years, that's when things gets really bad and persecutory. And that's when God will come back and deal with Satan forever, and he will create a new world, a new heaven and a new earth. So 42 is always going to be seen Satan coming against the plan, the assignment, and the will of God. 42 is important. The reason why is the spirit of opposition, because you have to remember that Jesus Christ, his coming into the world, he came down through 42 generations. Satan doesn't like 42 because the power of Jesus Christ being born in those 42 generations. And let's look at that. Anything that is weak, anything that is something that is not looked or seen to be great, God can come through and reverse those things. We saw on my last broadcast that when we dealt with 42 and we saw all the things that Satan used to attack the saints of God with, there was always Jesus Christ there opposing the spirit of opposition and struggle that is against the will of God. We saw that last week when we looked at the 42nd chapter of Job. Job was persecuted by the spirit of slander by his three friends. But in that 42nd chapter, God reversed those things when Job prayed for his friends. And then there was a return on Job's part, more better than ever before. Psalms chapter 42, or the book of Psalms 42, I should say. David was oppressed. David was down. He was not in the place that he used to be. So the spirit of opposition against him was to keep him from being in that place of joy and thanksgiving in the will of spirit and the will of God. But when he thought about these things of joy and thanksgiving, it turned his oppression, his depression, into joy and thanksgiving again. We even looked in Genesis, the 42nd chapter, when Satan was against the family of Joseph, when he tried to kill them through the famine. And at the same time, there was a betrayal that was still looming over their lives, because it was a curse of how they betrayed Joseph. Joseph was down in Egypt at that time as prime minister. And the 11 brothers went down there to buy some more food so that their family wouldn't starve to death. And that's when they reconciled back with Joseph and found that he was still living. This is the 42nd chapter. So even though the spirit of opposition in the 42nd chapter of Genesis was Satan trying to stop a people of God from becoming into an assignment for God and becoming God's people all to himself to carry out worship and influence the earth to let them know that there is only one God, and that is God himself. He tried to kill that family. But in that 42nd chapter, we see how God, the Spirit of the Lord, comes and reverses those things. And we found out Joseph, who was alive and not dead, was a big influential part of them surviving and continuing on their progeny, continuing on their generations, or else they would have died. Satan came against it. The spirit of opposition, the spirit of negative influence, the spirit to stop your assignment. So 42 is a number that Satan hates, because Jesus was born in the 42nd generation. If you look with me in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, we'll find that Jesus came through the descendant line of Leah. Leah, who was a daughter of Laban, Jesus came through that line. But let's show you how the spirit of opposition and struggle tried to fight against this from happening way before it was going to happen. The 29th chapter of Genesis, verse 16, said that Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Weak eyes, meaning that she was cockeyed, or one eye was weaker than the other, and it didn't set right in her eye sockets. One would look one way and the other one would look another way, so she was weak-eyed. She wasn't all that beautiful, if you would say, but Rachel was beautiful. And Jacob wanted to marry Rachel because she was beautiful, but Laban ended up giving him Leah, the firstborn, the ugliest one, if you would say. But I want to tell you something. Though you think you're ugly, though you think you're out of shape, though you think you have a lot of weight, though you think you're not very beautiful and attractive, that's where God takes and uses you, and you are very special to him in the kingdom of God for his assignments. So don't look at your appearance as that you are no good for anything, because look at the life of Leah right now. She ends up marrying Joseph, though through the influence of her father Laban. It wasn't a good influence, but he ended up getting her a husband. And the thing about it, even though he was in love with Rachel more than he was Leah, it was Leah who kept having the children, and Rachel was the one that was barren. Now, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, and that's what it said in the 31st verse of the 29th chapter of Genesis. And this is what I'm trying to show you, that the enemy, the spirit of opposition against the will of God, was trying to destroy Jesus Christ from ever being born in the 42nd generation. We'll look at that in a minute in the first chapter of Matthew, by coming through Leah. But Leah was the thing, the woman that God used. Her firstborn was Reuben. Leah had sons. Her firstborn was Reuben. Her secondborn was Simeon. Her thirdborn was Levi. And her fourthborn was Judah. Her fifthborn was Issachar. Her sixthborn was Zebulun. And her seventhborn was a daughter named Dinah. The only girl in that family was Dinah, and she's included in the generational line, and that is significant also. because that's going to have a lot to say when we look in the first chapter of Matthew, where we see Mary is included by saying that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was included in those generational lines. Not that Dana was included, but it was a glimpse of what was to come. What was special about these sons born to Leah was that if you look at the son Judah, Judah was the blessing tribe. Judah was where David the king was born, out of the tribe of Judah. And Judah was also born the son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came through the descendant line of Judah, as well as King David. That's why in the Gospels it calls Jesus the son of David, and David the king. And though Leah was going to be neglected because of some outward beauty and not looked upon her heart, God used her to be the blessing to counter attack against what the opposing force Satan tried to do, and he brought something beautiful out of her generations, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So now we go to Matthew chapter 1, we will see that in the generation line of Jesus Christ, we'll see that he did come down through 42 generations. And if you look in the third verse of the first chapter of Matthew, it says Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. There goes Judah again. This is the generational line. The blessing line came through Judah from Leah. And Judah is mentioned in here just to let you know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And then if you look down in verse 6, it says, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. And there we go, King David. David and Jesus Christ came through the bloodline son of Judah, which was the mother of them all. Her name was Leah, who was not looked up as the beautiful woman. And these 42 generations, Jesus was born. He came down through 42 generations and was born. That's why 42 is an oppositional force. It opposes everything that has the assignment of God, the plan of God, and the will of God, and it attacks the people. Remember, I refer to Revelation 13 often, that this beast was given authority to persecute the saints of God. He can't stand anything that has Jesus in it. He can't stand anything that will reverse the curse of what it was and what it is. And so I'm giving you this revelation. I mean, we looked at Psalms 42. We looked at Job 42. We looked also in Genesis 42. And we saw how this opposition force tried to stop the will of God from taking place. I also want you to look with me. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, is also a spirit of opposition that came against God himself. In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, it talks about Israel. Israel has been through you can call it a tribulation period, but they have been through now 70 years of captivity because of their sin, because of their continual disobedience toward the one God, the Lord God, God himself. And so back in the 40th chapter, it began to say, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her that her hard service, her sin is has been completed, or her sin has been paid for now. And so the 42nd chapter, it is going to show us that though sin was the reason that they were in captivity for 70 years, Satan tried to keep them away from the will of God by showing them a disobedient way. Their actions were continually disobedient. But also, I told you in the number 42, even when Satan comes against the plan of God, God reverses those things. You see God in it because God came through, or Jesus Christ came through 42 generations. Now, the 42nd chapter of Isaiah reads this. Here is my servant whom I uphold. I'm reading from the New International Version. My chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. If you've been in tribulations, and if you've been in a season where things didn't go right, and it seems like you've been into captivity for 70 years, it seemed like this thing has been struggling against you for so long, or it seemed like that you learned a lesson from something in the past, and it just seems like it lingers on with you, and you can never forget it. Isaiah chapter 42 is for you. He said that I'm going to send a servant of mine who's going to have the Spirit of God, and he was going to bring justice back to that situation that you're in. Just like Israel was in a situation as a nation, he was going to bring justice and send them back to their own land. And I'm prophesying to you today that he's going to bring justice out of the things that you learned. It broke you, it hurt you, it injured you. It taught you a great lesson. You are now knowing you won't go that way again. You know now that you will teach all who are in the house of God the righteous way and the voice of God, and to follow it and not follow that of another, but the voice of God that's calling them to righteousness, or calling them to take this route and to do things the way that God wants them to do it and not the way that they want to do it. Or else they will learn the lesson that you have learned. But I'm here to tell you that he's bringing you out. So the 42nd chapter is God is bringing out his people. And this is how he's going to bring them out. He said that this leader that he sends, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about this Messiah. So the 42nd chapter, now we're seeing the genealogy of Jesus coming out again, even though the spirit of opposition and influence was against it. He says that I'm going to send you a person who has my spirit. He is not going to shout at you, and he's not going to cry out where everybody can hear. That means he's going to be a gentle and meek leader. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. He's going to be a mighty God, a prince of peace, that he's going to draw you. He knows you paid for the lesson you learned, and he don't have to shout at you anymore like a parent who is angry with a child. It said that he's not going to raise his voice where everybody can hear it in the street. The way that he's going to bring you out, it says in verse 3, in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break. Now, a reed is... it grows among the marshes and grows near water. If you ever seen a reed, it's a very delicate piece of weed. And they make flutes and things out of that. And they put it together and they make measuring sticks out of that. They mat it together, mush it up, and turn it into, you ever see a yardstick and things of that nature. But a reed can be blown by the wind. Reeds can easily break and bend. But reeds that are bruised, he said that he knows that you are in a predicament. He knows that you are in this place. He won't break you anymore. Life itself, the situation, broke you already. And he's not coming to shout at you and to make you remember the service that you've did, the hard labor you've done behind it. He's not going to shout at you anymore. He says, I'm not going to break the reed that is bruised already. You're a reed and you're bruised. And the one thing you can do to a reed that is bruised already is to go ahead and snap it and break it completely where it cannot be used to turn it into something good. And so Jesus is going to be the type of leader now who in this 42nd chapter of Isaiah, that he knows you're weak and he knows you're delicate physically. He knows you're weak spiritually and morally. That's what this reed represents. Your spiritual character is weak. You're broken down by life itself. And he's going to be gentle. You're already trodden down. You suffered an injury. He's not going to destroy you any further. And he says that a bruised reed he will not break. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. What does he mean by a smoldering wick? He's talking about a dimly burning wick. You ever see a wick in an old oil lamp? It's smoldering by now. The oil in it is being used up. It's dimming out. And those who are at the point where Satan had crushed them, Satan had drew them into a place of sin. Satan had caused them to go against God. Satan had made a mockery of their life. Satan cut off their life for so many years. Now you've got it back. You're bruised. You're weakened now. The Spirit of God in you is weak now. You know, your wick is nearly going out, so to speak. And all you now need is nourishment by the life-giving Spirit of the oil of God, to help you to be brighter and to make you shine again like you once were before. Satan, the 42 spirit of opposition, had put all this on you and had deceived you until you had to learn these hard lessons. But God says, I'm a God that's going to bring you out. I'm a God that's going to show you my goodness. I'm a God that is faithful, and you will not expire. Though you have a dimming wick, I will make the wick turn back brighter into a light, and I will supply the oil to make you shine bright again. I will make people see that you are the light of the world, and you will not be hid anymore. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And I say to you, if you're partially lit because of the assignment Satan had you to do out of the opposition, he hates 42 because Jesus is the 42nd generation to rescue a people from sin. And he is showing up here in the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah to show you that he will be the redeemer of the sin hold and the captivity that placed you in that position against the will of God. So he hates that number. You bruised reeds and you're dimly lit up. God shows up constantly. And Satan tries to fight, steal. We see before he came in the 42nd generation in Matthew chapter 1, he has been trying to destroy the people of God, the assignment of God in people's lives by utilizing the number 42. So every time we look in scripture, we're going to see that Satan does not like anything that is of God. So we saw Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. God reversed those things Satan did by having a people sin so bad that they had learned 70 years a lesson. We saw him in Psalms 42. When he had David in another place, he didn't even have the Spirit of God. He was depressed. We saw it in Genesis 42. Before the people, the Hebrew people, ever became the people of God, and they were going out to going through the Exodus to become the people of God, he tried to destroy them through the brothers of Joseph and through the spirit of betrayal. But the Lord reversed those things in the 42nd chapter when they found out Joseph was still alive and he was the redeemer to bring them out of famine. As well as Job, the 42nd chapter, his friends slandered him through that spirit of opposition, but the Lord overturned those events when he prayed for them. 42 is an important number, and as I told you, that it will try to stop the will of God. You think of it, 4 plus 2 equals 6. It's the number of man who is influenced in the earth. And that spirit influences man in the earth to oppose God and to abandon the things of God for a future assignment. But if you calculate 4 times 2 equals 8, 7 days in a week plus one more starts a new beginning, that's when we see still God will show up, even though 4 plus 6 is the number of man and he influences man demonically and on the earth. 4 times 2 equals 8 is a new beginning. God still comes in and overturns those things. Luke, the Gospel of Luke in our Bible, is the 42nd book. Now, if we don't separate the Old Testament, which it has 39 books, and the New Testament has 27 books, which will equal 66 books, but you have to look at that if we continue on counting, 42, the book of Luke pops up. The book of Luke is the 42nd book. If we count from Genesis to Revelation, the book of Luke becomes the 42nd book. And that's very important, the 42nd book. Looking at that 42nd book of the Gospel of Luke in the Bible, we see that Satan came against a people. Just reading the book of Luke, he came against a people. If you study it, the book of Luke will show you that it mainly catered to people who weren't Jewish. It catered to the Gentiles. Satan came so hard against a people who didn't know God that God decides to come in the 42nd book of Luke, which is the Gospel of Luke, to show a reversal of the things that Satan tried to do. The 42nd book, it catered, of the Gospel of Luke, it catered to the Gentiles. The Gentiles saw a reversal of tradition. The reversal of tradition was that Jesus healed more people in the Gospel of Luke who weren't Jewish instead of coming to his own people. Like in the book of Matthew, he came to the Jewish people. The book of Luke was also written by a Gentile convert, which was the historian Luke. You see these reversals of events. Satan had the whole world, but after the Lord tried to get Jerusalem, to get his own people Israel, he also reached out to the Gentiles, whom Satan had captivity, and he reached out to them. Looking at the 42nd book of the Bible, the book of Luke, Luke shows us that it was the people who were Samaritans. It was people who were Syrophoenicians, and it was women that he reached out to. He reversed the order of tradition, and he reached out to a people who were bruised and hurt, other than just Israel. Jesus Christ was for the whole world, for he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Not just the Jews who believe in him. It said, for whosoever believes in him. And so Luke is showing that the faith of the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, believed in him, also became the sons and the daughters of God. Women saw a reversal of tradition, and Jesus reached out to more people than just the Jews. And it also is the longest gospel out of all the books in the gospel. Why is Luke, which is the 42nd chapter of the Bible, so important? Because Jesus had compassion on the outcasts. And it follows the genealogy of Mary instead of the genealogy of all of the patriarchs, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Reuben, Gad. You don't see them. It follows the genealogy of man. It follows the genealogy of Mary. Mary's genealogy started with Heli, H-E-L-I, Heli, who was a descendant or father of Mary. See, why so this so important is because the 42nd book of the Bible, which is the Gospel of Luke, is to say that Jesus Christ came to save the world. The Jews and Gentiles, bond or free, this gospel purported and showed that it was reaching out to a people, to the world, to anybody who believed on his name. Because when you read the 42nd book of the Bible, which is the Gospel of Luke, it shows you that the Gentile people who were not Jews had more faith than the Jewish people themselves. And they became a great people. Until next time, again, I'm your host, prophet and teacher, Charles T. Walker.